Well, what do you remember about Neddy Hom Rhines as well? Can you remember?
Well, he built this house.
Hmm.
This this cottage.
And you've been in it, have you?
Yes.
And do you remember him?
Well, it's a long since that I can't say that I did remember them up there, but I can't just exactly bring to memory now what he was like.
Mm.
Because I was only a child that time. But I've got the picture of his house. And I've kept it, you know, because unto me knowing them, I've kept the picture.
Is that the cottage you said where they had the little place to put the broom?
Yes, and the ledge to put the water crock. Kept the water crock outside, and the broom was in a little recess.
Mm.
It was made special for the broom.
Can you remember those brooms used?
Yes.
Did everybody have one?
Well, they had a clay floor,
mm.
and they were brushed it, and they were putting sand on it.
Mm.
And one woman, she was a very clever woman, supposed to be, and she was a... They went to a farm, and the farmer's son went in to see her one day, and the floor was as white as snow. And he says to her, what have you been putting on the floor? It was a clay floor. Oh, she said, I put flour on it. She had the floor. Flour like what we bake bread on. He thought it was a bit white, and he just asked her.
She put flour on it.
She was an aunt to Ella.
They used to put sand on it.
Ella, can you use sand?
Well, did they get it from the shore?
Yes, fine sand off the shore.
Yes.
And you just walk on that, you know. And there was no carpets in them days, or no thing, hard cloth or anything, but a drag. You know, if you got sand on the floor now, and the carpet would be flown.
Mm-hmm.
But there was none of that in them days. Just the pure white tables.
Clean.
Washed,
what?
Clean on the floors, flag floors.
Mm-hmm.
But this was before that. They had these clay floors in the thatched cottages.
Mm-hmm.
They just brushed them with the broom. And they had a high churn, a narrow churn with a thing in it for to do the butter.
Mm-hmm.
And they had no dairy, just the kitchen, for to do their churning.
Mm-hmm.
A round thing, you could put your arms around about that round and high up, and just like a thing you had for washing clothes, a sponger.
Yes.
They had that to churn the thing. One cow, the cow house would be at the corner of this thatched cottage. And there'd be another little house the other side to keep the hens in.
Mm-hmm.
There might be a little barn, and they would have corn in, and they would have a flail. Knocking the corn off this thing with the flail,
mm-hmm.
the ripe corn.
Yeah.
That's the way they've done these little crofters.
Yes.
In olden days, I can remember that. And they had a garden at the back, and those the sweetest berries ever I eat. You know those eaten berries?
Mm-hmm.
And lovely roses in the garden. I never saw roses like them, what the old people had.
Where was this particularly?
Over where I was living at Colby.
Colby.
I mean at the Iron Spout there, those two cottages, one right at the Iron Spout and another further over. That's where that stool come from.
Oh,
okay. It was Billy Sam, they called him. His father must have been Sam, and he was Billy.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a sister, Ellen, and that's where I got that stool.
Mm-hmm. And who was this man from Craignish that you say you remembered going round the beggar?
Oh,
he was a Craignish man, was he?
Yes, he was Jimmy Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He used to go round, travelling all round. And, oh, he was getting plenty of stuff, he wasn't short for anything. Come home with lumps of beef, I forget now who's he going to. I've seen it and I've never tasted it.
And he had a home, had he, in Craignish?
Well, he had people living up there anyway, but he never was. He would be gone to this Ballaspur, perhaps he had people down north that knew him.
Mm-hmm.
And he might have been doing work for them down there.
And he went all over the Isle of Man?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I've seen him up the mountain, and he was going like a hare, and if he was coming up to our house, he'd be just move one foot over the other. I used to be tickled to death. You know, he was awful careful walking, coming up. He was as tired looking. And if he was going over the mountain to get to places, he was going like a hare. I've seen that with my eyes.
And was he an old man or only compared?
Well, he wasn't that old. He wouldn't be able to live now. He'd be too old now. I don't know, he'd be about 50 or so when I was young, when I was young. But they said what done it was that he got torpedoed.
Oh.
And it affected his head.
Mm-hmm.
They said he was a very good looking boy and he had a mass of curls.
Mm-hmm.
But he was, I don't know, where was he going to the fishing or what, but he got torpedoed one time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what caused this thing, that he wasn't like other people. But he could talk enough, he could tell me everything that happened from the point of view to the cap of man.
What about the age of the smithy, Mr. Cape?
The smithy was built in 1877.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
That's on the date of the stone?
77, yeah.
And who built it?
Oh, no, I cannot tell you that.
Oh, it wasn't your grandfather?
Yeah, it was built for my grandfather,
oh,
that's
yes.
Right. I'm the third in line that's had it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And was there a smithy here before then?
No. I think there was an old joiner's shop here, I've been given to understand.
But your grandfather was the first, was it?
Yes, with the smithy, yeah.
And where was there a smithy in these parts before that?
Just
it?
Down below at the cottage down the road here.
Oh, was it?
My father served his apprenticeship,
mm-hmm.
my grandfather rather. And then he started on his own at the bottom of the hill up further before he built this smithy.
Oh, there was another one up there?
No, he started one himself, like. Then he got this place built.
And is the building still there?
No, there's nothing up there now. I believe there's a stone up there with a steeple in somewhere that they used to turn the cart hoops on.
Oh.
What they tell me there is. It's up there, it's somewhere.
Well, this must be the busy place of all
time. Yes, there was three fires. All sorts of agricultural implements.
Is it? In your time?
Not so much in my time, it was mostly going out.
Mm.
All repairing mostly in all my time. I haven't seen many new implements made.
There were plenty of horses.
Plenty of heavy horses and ponies, milk ponies, trap horses. My younger days.
And did your grandfather and your father used to make cart irons?
Yes, all sorts of cart irons,
mm-hmm.
float irons.
What about spring carts? Did they used to make those?
Yes, they used to fix the springs up on them too. And iron work, doing all sorts of iron work.
How did they used to blow up these fires when there'd be three of them?
How do you mean?
By hand? Or
yes, all hand bellows.
Were they?
Three bellows, one to each fire leg.
Well, how many men would there be employed here? Quite a lot.
Well, there'd be three men in. That'd be out of their time, two men, and there'd be an improver and an apprentice.
Mm. I suppose you'd get a lot of people gathering here.
Oh, yes. You couldn't walk around the smithy night for... used to do lots of irons, all plough irons. Different things were coming in at night.
That's when they came in, I suppose, when the day's work was done.
That's right.
There was another in Bullam, there was a flax mill up right behind Bullbrewy there, and then there was another one up Bullamannock Road. You see that big hollow off the middle there still?
A flax mill?
Flax mill.
How did
My great grandfather, that was his trade. Going on the flax mills, fixing them.
Mm-hmm.
Fixing the flax mill. And trash mills in the easies.
Were they?
Mm. That was it there.
That would be a long time ago.
Oh. Man, wouldn't it?
How did the flax mills work? What was the principle?
Oh, there was much working on them. The water wheel, I know it's water, I think the water wheel was all made wood. like he was, that was his job, you know.
Yes.
Fixing these thrashing mills and water wheels and making water wheels and all. My father was good at making the water wheels too, you know.
Was he?
My father, he made the last water wheel that my father made was in the starch mill the year. And Southwood's water wheels down, he made them.
They're still there, are they?
No. Gone.
And have you...
They smashed them up.
Did they?
You know. Well, the flax mill, you see, water wheel was outside and there was a cogwheel on that driving a big shaft that was up in the air like this here.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was something around about here, round about the middle of it, a kind of a keystone round about, and it all full of holes. And there was a thing inside of that running round about, the cotton be further, spinning round about, and 10 bits of wood made as thin as paper nearly on them, on this place. This thing was only about as thick as that, you know. This case that was around, this big fella that was going up and down, you know. This fella that was going up and down.
That was
And this was run around in the case, and the holes all around, and they had the flax. And you see, after it was the outside, well, apart, lots of the outside of it, I suppose, it was left in the water until, you know, that it was rotting.
Yes.
Till it would come away from after the little thing that's inside of the little, whatever, I never seen flax, but I don't know, something like a rush. There's a stem in, little stem in the inside.
Yes. Like the rushes.
And then they had this in just handfuls. They had this gathered up in handfuls, you know, and a little bit of string tied on them. And then they were shoving it in this case here, shoving it in the hole in the case. And then with the water wheel, the speed on this water wheel was going round awful quick. You know, it was flying round in the case. This thing was flying round in the case like lightning itself. And then it was knocking this off, you know.
I see.
Knocking this off,
That
end of it, and then you're turning it around and he's knocking the other end off, and then it was it was put down. Till then, when they had all that done, they were ready to go home, and I suppose be ready to spin. Be ready to spin on the spinning wheel, you know.
And do you remember the weavers, the linen weavers in Sulby Glen?
No,
there
I
was someone,
in the house, I seen the house the weaver was in.
Where was that?
It was right down the year before the last weaver was in. Right. Oh, I did see a weaver. Because I seen my mother getting a thing and a hole, web done?
Did you?
Yes, I seen her getting a web done. Gone. Down the Clannach Road.
Oh, gone the weaver down there?
Gone, mm-hmm. Aye. And there was another flood. I know, what's this called, what's it? Bill something. Nickname on him.
Was it a man called Sharp, a weaver?
Oh, that's what I was going to learn.
Yes.
But seen the man.
Did you?
One time, aye. He's a kind of a thin fella and then a little bit of a whiskey, so he's cheeky.
Mm-hmm.
He's an Irishman.
He lived up on the hill somewhere, did he?
Aye, he was an Irishman.
Mm.
And he had a sister, Anne Sharp.
Oh,
she
yeah.
was living with him. Right up there on the Alex Sharp's place, they call it. You see it from the river there.
Mm.
You see the bit of houses there? Yet? Alex Sharp. And I suppose he was growing her too. But he was a weaver of linen.
Mm.
And then there was another weaver. Well, he was a specialist. That fella living down at a river, right alongside the river, in a little house alongside the river, at the Clavach Mill there. There was a fella living there.
What was his
you
name?
You were calling him. What is this you're calling Natalie? Some nickname on him, do? They're all nicknames, that I'm on.
Go on.
He was especially good wave the linen and wave peacocks in it and patterns in and all this, but I never knew that Alex Chapp could do that as well.
No.
But Alex Chapp was waving then.
Was he?
Oh, aye.
Have you ever seen any of the linen that they've made?
No.
Alex Sharp or this other man?
I seen weather and a thing of the a half linen and a half a wool. Though.
Mm-hmm.
She had a lump of a web done off it. And they were calling it Kjalta.
Mm-hmm.
They were calling that Kjalta.
Yes.
By gum, you never get warm. It wouldn't do for you ones this time of day at all because you want a new dress now and again with this last year for about 10 years.
Would it?
Yes. You wouldn't get a hole in the blooming thing. Toss it. This girl was made me mother when I was left school. That. And me sister sat it on till they got too proud to wear it. Like no, was it given to somebody, was it burnt to us? They never got wore anyway.
That must have been marvellous stuff.
What?
That must have been marvellous stuff.
Well, it's a pity that there weren't something in like it now, but everything, they don't want nothing to last now, do they?
No.
But
what was the story you told me about Sulby Glen, about the river?
Huh?
What was the story you once told me about the river here in Sulby Glen? And the tailor and the fairy child, do you remember that? Do you remember
that?
I've forgotten that story. Could you tell it again?
Oh. Well, it's only, well, you know, kind of a fake, isn't it? It's all the... you
what
see this tailor? Tailor! You see, they used to go around, they were waving, and they had the wool of the own sheep, you know, they were combing it and thinging it and spinning it, and they were doing this all themselves, you know, the women, weren't they? They had kind of thing like golden teaser. He was over there going to make cloths or something for some of them that was there anyway, over there. A man was where at work somewhere, the working a long way off somewhere. And that this woman, you see, do it and making out in old times that the fairies was stealing the children from them, weren't they?
They believed that.
And leaving a lot of old poor children, weren't they? Stealing the children from them. Well, this fella come to work anyway.
The tailor.
And he got on the table and a lap wood at him, and he was there, he was sitting on the tailor on the table and the lap wood, and this woman had a child, and he was cross off, his fairy child. She didn't know this at all, that there was a fairy child at all. The child was cross off, and she was punished for wits at this dirty old cross child. The tailor was there, and she was telling this one this to the tailor, and she was wanting to go. The man was working somewhere, working by the day somewhere, making hedges or God knows what. Because all sod hedges, nearly that time, you know. She was wanting to go for the dinner to the man. She didn't know when I sent us what to do with this dirty old cross child yet. And he was screaming and crying and roaring, and she was punched through the world, and Taylor said to her for to go, even to get the child. And she didn't know what to do. And the tailor said, you had managed the child, all right. Go on. So off she went. So she hadn't gone out many yards till the little flash started to roar and scream. And the tailor jumped off the table, and he up with the lapwood, and he told me, if you didn't shut up and take that fiddle from behind his back and start to play, he would smashed the head on. And a little brother taking no notice, he made one dive at him with the lapwood. And the little brother shouted, "Hold on, hold on." And so the tailor said to him, "Draw that fiddle from behind the back, lass. This next time I'll finish you." So little flat drew the fiddle up from the eyes back and started to play. And the tailor started to dance. And there was an awful baller dancing. And at last the little flash said, "This one will be back." Very shortly, it'll have to not do. So the all went to rest, and the woman came back, and the woman said, "Oh, the ground, oh, done marvellous. Never heard about that child, and I no bragged of him." Well, so when he got the woman in a quiet place, you know, he told the woman what she had to do, fairy child here. And take him to a big dub and throw him in. So she wasn't believing him at all. She was putting things off for a long time, and last she got to be a bit. And one day she was fair upset altogether with him, and she took him out to some big dub, and she flung him in. And if he did, the little flash struck out for the other side. And when he got on the bank the other side, he called her for everything in the world. Told her she'd never see him again. Ah. The kind of a werewolf yarn, isn't it? Kind of a funny yarn.